Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Fred. I am responsible. I am accountable. I am capable of assisting people to find their true voice and then deliver it effectively into the world around us. With 40 years in mental health, 32 of them as a psychiatrist, and then a massive amount of conversations, including podcasting and expert speaking, keynote speaking, I have the opportunity to really see the magic that it takes to find one's authentic self and then deliver it effectively into the world. And if you're like me, you can see that now more than ever, that's what's called for. So today is that day. Now is that time. Come forth. Join me in the broadcast. You'll see on the other side of this, a true voice with Dr. Fred. Hello and welcome. Welcome, welcome to True Voice with Dr. Fred. It's my podcast and it's a weekly podcast. And I'm not sure where you are or what day it is that you're listening or watching this, but whatever it is, I am certainly grateful that you have tuned in. And we spend a lot of time in this podcast talking about true voice and talking about the power of authenticity, talking about what's really here in this world that is worthwhile, not suggesting that there's not a lot that's worthwhile, but in the end, it does boil down to only a few things. And that's like, are you really being yourself? Are you really speaking or representing yourself? And, you know, it's an interesting question because most of us actually believe that we are doing, you know, the best that we can in representing that which really matters to us, only limited by the things that are naturally in the way of being our true selves in this crazy world of ours. So we think we're doing the best we can and would therefore equate who we are being to, if we're doing the best we can, being simply as authentic as the world would allow us to be. Okay. Trying to work through that is start looking at the greatest threat in the world, as I see it, being that many of us, if not most, if not nearly all of us, are really being challenged in the way, you know, the greatest threat in the world isn't what you think it is, right? And we've gone over this in other podcast episodes in the past. Like, it's not global warming. Oh, it's a big threat. It's not sex trafficking. That's a major threat to humanity. It's not the virus and, you know, some controversy are there, but, you know, lots of people see that as a superhuman threat. It's not, racism, again, massive threat to all of humanity. It's not war even. You know, there's wars in Ukraine, but there's wars going on in many places in some of the inner cities right here in our country, maybe even right around the block or right in front of where you are when you're listening. And it, I say it's not that either. It's not the Supreme Court. It's not who wins the presidency. Those things are big. They're super big. In and of themselves, none of them are the greatest threat in the world. The greatest threat in the world, as I see it, is that we are collectively giving up our capacity to honor and then speak our truest voice as we know it to be. Now, you could say, well, Fred, that's not that big. Well, I say it is. And the reason I say it is because our true voice in an open dialogue or in an honest-to-goodness conversation with other people often might even be diametrically opposed or adversarial to our position is what's going to be required in order to take on any of the calamities that I just listed. So what, you know, and if you're not speaking your true voice, be kind to yourself. This world has kind of created us to not necessarily hang on with all our might to what is our truest voice, what we know is right. Now, there might be someone out there who thinks that the opposite thing that you know is right is right. You've met those people. Like, in their heart of hearts, they are pretty sure that the thing that is opposite from what a thing is that you know is right is right. And we tend to then believe, because we are binary in our thinking, that they are wrong. They are wrong to think the thing that is opposite to what we think is right. They are wrong. Now, if it's a big deal, if we see that as a big deal, we can be really threatened by that. We can think that we really, really know that they're wrong. You know, certainly I'm fully capable of thinking that people are wrong. I you know, we're just dead wrong, completely underinformed or misinformed or lying or just wrong, you know. And that's because in those particular areas, I have it that I'm right, or at least I know that that's wrong, even if I'm not right. Now, what we do with that information is where I'm saying the loss is, or maybe the greatest threat to humanity. One of the things that I do have a hard time with, a very hard time with, is censoring or canceling. Like actually, you know, not letting someone even speak their truth. You know, the freedom of speech is, it's the First Amendment. And I, you know, I'm guessing they wrote those amendments around the same time. So I don't know that it's necessarily the First Amendment because it's of the primary importance, but I'm not surprised. They could have picked other amendments to put there. But they put that one there. Because when we collectively give up our capacity to either hear someone else's viewpoint in a different direction than what we thought is true, or when the community gives up the, or you know, clamps down on what it is that we have to say about something, even if it falls against 98, 99, 99.99% of the people's prevailing conversation or accepted rhetoric, we are nailing ourselves into a box. By the way, Sam isn't here with me today, and if anyone's listening and would like to speak a little more to this, the phone number to call in is 1-888-627-6008. That's 1-888-627-6008. I'd be glad to speak with you about this topic. Now, especially in, you know, recent times, and not just 2 years, but maybe 5 years, 10 years, there's been a growing tendency to actually get to the idea that if someone is saying something that we know is wrong, they shouldn't be allowed to say it. Very troubling. And in some ways, it does represent the end of the world as we know it. How are we going to accept new information that only 1% of the population knew? If we annihilate that 1% before they even say it. What kind of hubris is involved in thinking that we know as what we know, so much so that any dissenting opinion needs to be canceled before it's even stated? It's scary to me. And I, look, I'm guilty too. Probably the place where I'm most guilty of this is with my loved ones, my wife in particular, maybe. Like sometimes she'll say something and I'm like, you can't say that. I can't put up with you saying that. Like, you know, we go into the little kid's sort of response, la, 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 put our fingers in our ears, la, 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 la. You know, no, please be quiet, or please stop, or I can't hear you, or I don't want to hear you, or don't say that in my presence. So the question I have for me and for you about that is, what are we protecting ourselves from? If we firmly believe that which we think and then say that which we believe, then how is it that anybody saying anything would be any threat to what it is that we already know that we know? Maybe there's a sense that if we're in the presence of someone saying something different than what we know, there's an outside chance that we would have to, if we listened, consider a dissenting opinion. and perhaps even change our course. Like, what if we were to learn that what we knew wasn't right? What if we were to learn that which we were so certain we knew? I mean, our whole world has depended on a particular piece, and then we learn that it wasn't true even when we knew it was. It's a pretty serious threat to our own identity. A pretty serious threat to, like, what is it that we're supposed to do with that? Come out the next day and say, everything I've thought about this particular topic up until now is now wrong. And I was wrong. And I was saying with confidence, maybe sometimes haughty confidence, or, you know, arrogant confidence, or unmovable, unshakable confidence, something that I then learn holds no water. It's wrong. Most of us are not built to manage that. We're not built to gracefully manage learning that which we've committed to learning up until now is wrong. To basically unlearning it or throwing it back into the sea. The greatest threat in the world today isn't what you think it is. The greatest threat in the world today is that we are collectively giving up our capacity to speak our true voice. And some of us are even taking it one step further, one more tragic step further. We're actually saying and doing things that fly against what we know to be correct. So not only are we not saying what was correct, we're actually saying things that we know are incorrect. Mm-mm-mm. And some of us then get to the point, maybe it's because of our job, or because of, you know, maintenance of a relationship somehow, or not being caught in having been wrong or done wrong. So we justify that we're saying or doing, it's amazing, right? Saying or doing things that fly directly against who we know ourselves to be, or what we know to be true. It's ludicrous, right? Trying to be someone that you're not in order to protect the person you are is a preposterous, absurd, ludicrous proposition. I have some relationship issues that I'm dealing with these last few days inside my family of origin. And I'm being asked to show up. I'm being asked for my truth. And up until now, my truth, I've been very afraid to speak my truth for fear that I will look like a jerk or be further ostracized or seen as a bad person or in case to be canceled or censored, disowned. You know, dismembered. Disenfranchised. Well, courage doesn't call for me to not speak it. But courage does call for me to be very skillful and graceful about how I speak something that might be painful to another. And yeah, it takes something. In this particular case, what I noticed over time, you know, is that the person in my family who, and it was maybe a couple people, who were in my world disrespecting me or dismissing me. And I just had so much distaste for them doing that, was actually doing that as a function of me not really showing up as me, and them sensing that and having a great deal of distaste for the me I was showing up pretending to be, rather than the me that they know me to be. And that became intolerable to me, that I was getting disrespected. See, I had it that I was an I that was being consistent with themselves, when in fact I was an I who was looking for an order to, you know, I was looking to be appreciated for my accomplishments or accepted for my cleverness, or, you know, like honored for my accolades. And it wasn't even consistent with who I knew myself to be. So I wasn't really honoring myself for any of those things anyways. But it was done as a facade so that I could earn the respect of my family members, you know, show up with bigger and better antlers. Eventually, there was a breakdown, and that breakdown led to a separation, and that separation has been extended further than you know, what would be naturally acceptable. And now there's an effort, at least a concerted or bona fide effort, to reconcile. And what is that going to take? Well, I study something called gene keys. I'm in gene keys delta, and my delta gene key, and I think we talked about this with Sam a couple times this week. I believe it's gene key 59 or 57. I'm not quite sure. Goes from dishonesty as the shadow to intimacy as the gift, all the way to transparency as the city, for those of you who understand what I'm talking about. So combining the shadow of dishonesty and the gift of intimacy, the opportunity to walk away with transparency becomes real. It's no easy chore. Although honesty is frequently or obviously more effective than dishonesty in the long run, it doesn't mean that simply choosing honesty and continuing to be honest, as opposed to being dishonest, is a slam dunk easy thing to take on. Not at all. Not at all. Last evening, I took a peek at my life with my beautiful wife next to me as we were getting ready to fall asleep. You know, took a peek at these 48 years between the age of 13 when I fell off gear, all the way to the age of 61, 62. Where I was simply like, what should I say? Like reacting or I was acting rather than being my heartfelt person, who I think was at least more obviously intact when I was 12 than when I was 13, when the traumas, some tragedies took place, significant tragedies for any age. And I chose at that time this thing about, you know, attempting to be someone that I'm not in an effort to protect the person I am, and worked pretty good, you know, chuck and jive around, and got to a point where I was I did get a number of accolades. I did, work my way into a very high level degree and a powerful position inside the medical community. But oftentimes I was doing things that were misaligned with who I knew myself to be. And that doesn't work. Sometimes it was like gross aberrations from who I know myself to be. And it just doesn't work. So I stayed for the most part very, very much like in debt, either a lot or a little. And that's because when I, or maybe you, are inauthentic with our truest self, it's not possible to get wealthy because it's really painful to pretend to be somebody that we're not. And by the time that pain is lifted, the pain of being broke, the pain of being jobless, the pain of being, like having our backs against the wall. Once that's relieved, then I start looking at the moral aspect of what I'm doing with my life. Is it consistent? Can I wake up in the morning and continue to do, bull crap things when it's not with the full intention of like making money or prestige or something? Can I continue to do that when it's no longer necessary for me to do that? And there's a direct proportion between how soul sacrificing it is for me to be different than I am and the revenue, if you will, the moral or actual financial revenue that is created by doing things that I dislike that are misaligned with who I am, but that do create a revenue stream. Excuse me. The power of doing a stream show. Now, in the last several years, I have hunkered down a bit, and now who I get to be is someone who's much more aligned with my true self and much more authentic with what really my core values are, my, honest message. And it comes at a cost. And it comes at a cost because in the exposure of my yin side, whether it's my heart or my genitals or like whoever is here, whichever it is, it feels more like I'm in danger. The I who is me is actually being scrutinized rather than the I who's pretending to be someone else being scrutinized. Which doesn't, it actually doesn't hurt as much. Even, instead I blame them for not appreciating me when in fact I'm not even showing up as me. I can get angry at them when they're not properly in my world, paying attention to the me that I'm pretending to be. When I am, in fact, stepping into the me for the most part, that I am intending to be or that I'm aligned with. It's no longer about necessarily being angry, although if someone hurts me from that position, I may become angry. It's about being hurt, that I may be rejected, I may be thrown off the island. Yeah. Is this courage? Yeah, they say it is, Is it courage? Yeah, they say it is. Is courage what's required? Yeah, it probably is. Is courage more frightening than non-courage? Well, yes, it probably is. Courage is the act of proceeding despite fear or despite risk. So yeah, courage creates a momentum that takes some gumption. Do I have that gumption to be courageous in my life, with my wife, with the community, with my stand, with the things that matter to me? And I am saying that in the last few years, that has become much more interesting to me, to become aligned with who I really know myself to be. So what do you think? We don't have much to say over so many things in the world that happen either to us, through us, or around us. You don't. They're going to happen, and some of them are pretty lousy. We do have something to say over how we respond to those things as they happen. Again, to some degree, we get to decide whether we're going to be upset or rejecting or angry, sad or scared. At some level, these are choices. We have something to say about the dominion of how we carry ourselves in the face of external stressors or external unpredicted events, even external predicted events. The podcast that we're creating now is this podcast called The True Voice with Dr. Fred. And today I met with my podcast team. We're like, is this Welcome to Humanity? Is it Global Madness? Is it Insanity? Is it Healing the Healer? Is it True Voice of Dr. Fred? And so far, at least the one we're hanging a hat on briefly is True Voice of Dr. Fred. And why is that? Because I'm my own ideal avatar. Somewhere along the line, the veil has dropped, and I no longer have the energy to continue twisting up a story that is not necessarily consistent with this thing called my true self, my core value, which I am now more in touch with than I ever was before, even though I'm probably also remaining entirely inauthentic in its presentation. What's there to do? You might find that the very successful people in the world, one of the reasons that you're attracted to them is that they are speaking their true voice. And oftentimes, even if they're saying things that you're not necessarily aligned with content-wise, there's a degree of respect that shows up when you're listening to someone speaking their truth. Maybe that's the highest honor, not so much to be respected by others, but to speak our highest truth. And not so much to get into trouble or to target ourselves, but ultimately listening to what the community is calling for. What would move the needle forward? What kind of conversation would get that done? And then delivering that conversation. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about some of the options of how to express oneself. Without Sam, I may not last a whole hour, but I will give you some ideas on how and when to express yourself so the world can finally receive your message, a message that they are eagerly waiting for. We'll see you on the flip side of this commercial. Thanks. Hello, everybody. It's Dr. Fred again. I wanted to explain to you a little bit about one of the names I have called the Undoctor. What is the Undoctor? Well, after about 15 years in the field of me being misaligned with what I was doing, because I was medicating people even knowing that medications were not the right answer, and I was diagnosing people even though I didn't always believe that they had the diagnosis that I said that they had, even though they did meet the criteria, etc., I like seeing humans for exactly who they are and who they're not, and not as a diagnosis. So in 2006, I began the process of becoming the Undoctor. I unmedicated, undiagnosed, and then undoctrinated a bunch of people. Like, people no longer had to come to a psychiatrist because their condition's cleared. This isn't true for everyone. It may not be true for you, but for some folks who know that their diagnosis doesn't fit and who know that they don't want to keep going through with medications and don't want to be seen as someone who's defective or afflicted, this turned out to be a great intervention. Over time, I stopped doing that, and I no longer do a whole lot of conventional psychiatry. Now I just help people
walk through their life and find their true voice. I connect with people straight up, not as if there's a power gradient between a doctor and a patient, but as two humans connecting and resonating with each other. As it turns out, that's where all healing emanates from. So today, I've developed the Welcome to Humanity brand over the last 6 or 7 years, and that really takes into consideration all of this. It is self-explanatory. Basically, each and every experience that we have with humanity is just as exquisite as another, even if it's deeply uncomfortable. From there, we get to actually share these human experiences. From there, we get to resonate and connect, and from there, healing takes place. I also have been helping people with their true voice, and that's why you're here today at True Voice with Dr. Frey. I help people find that true voice, really their authentic self, their core value system, and then deliver it effectively into a world that is eagerly awaiting to hear you. Without your voice, no one will ever hear you. And without your true voice, no one will ever know you. But with your true voice, you can find healing, peace, and love. True voice is what it takes to end all wars. So, welcome to True Voice with Dr. Fred.
So, if you've been here since the start of this episode, you see that we've been taking on an honest, important question, or a challenge, or maybe an experience, a commitment. What else have you got to do in this life that's more valuable than being heard for who you are? Have you really got something more valuable? Maybe you do, but probably not a lot of things. Or maybe you're just sure that being a liar or being a cheat or being halfway about things, you know, inauthentic, is really the only way to walk through this world. Maybe you've been through that, you know, level of pain and trauma that has you really know that as being all that the world is willing to accept from you. Sad. And I would understand. The world's a tough place. And when we get our heart hurt, or when life doesn't turn out like we wish it would or know it should, then coming back for more and, you know, doing so authentically with an exposed heart is no easy walk in the park. We learned very early on that you know, confabulation, exaggeration, duplicity, all are effective means to get us things that we want in the short term. If I, as a little child, scream louder, then I get a bigger lollipop. Or if I lie and, you know, say my sister did something that I did, then maybe she'll get in trouble and not me, and I avert whatever, you know, punishment I might have received. And we learn that there's some effectiveness in stating untruths. I invite you now to get that the crack in the cement has grown larger and larger over time, and that we have stopped in many ways looking at the value of doing that and have just accepted that as being a human trait. Maybe it's not innately human, and maybe, just maybe, you can step in and be yourself. See, it doesn't work to be someone else. You know, they said, funny joke is, don't try to be anyone else because everyone else is taken. Just be yourself. But if it doesn't work, I mean, either way, you're going to be ostracized and disenfranchised and, you know, dismissed and canceled and censored and all that, whether you speak your voice or pretend to be someone else, then there's no real value in trying to be someone else. And it's difficult to be yourself. So this is the essence of True Voice. And, you know, I'm going to be using this essence to continue to create who I help people to become. Check out the True Voice course. And if you like, take out my book. I have a book called, I know, shockingly, called Find Your True Voice. You can find that book at findyourtruevoicebook.com. And you can find the course at truevoicecourse.com. I invite you to really take a look at those things and see if that resonates with you. I recently took my course, and it's great, actually. With the help of some good friends, it's a really cool course. You walk out of that different than who you knew yourself to be when you started. The course uses podcasting as a template because there's not that much better way to get your voice out in the real world. But it doesn't have to be podcasting. There are a number of ways of getting your voice out here. Art, music, dancing, singing, drama, cooking, writing, gardening. These are all ways to get your voice out there. And they're all in my other book, or my second of three books, called The Creative Eight: Healing Through Creativity and Self-Expression. And I invite you to check that book out. You can find that at welcometohumanity.net/creative or /creative8. One of them is the Audible, and the other one is the PDF, Kindle version. So yeah, are you ready? Are you ready to find your true voice? It is 11:50. Oh, it just turned 11:58 in the world. When the clock strikes midnight, it's over. And as Henry David Thoreau said, you know, the mass of men go to their graves with their song still in them. Is that going to be you? I think he adds that it's quiet desperation. The mass of men go to live lives of quiet expiration and go to their graves with their song still in them. That's close to his quote. I don't want that to be you. Even in the short period of time, whether it's a few days, a few weeks, years, months, you know, even if it's just 10 or 20 years from now that we're alive, boy, wouldn't it be great if someone or most people knew you for who you really were? See, I have it that most people live life in order to eventually be heard and respected for who they are. That's what's here for you. It's possible. You don't have to go to Tibet. You don't have to sit under a Bodhi tree. You don't have to do psychoanalysis. You don't have to, you know, do CBT or... You don't have to do anything. You can just acknowledge that person of yours that's in there the whole time. And whatever way you use, from voice or any of the creative aid methodologies, it'll work. Just take incremental steps. You don't have to be boldly, totally honest all the time after all. And when nothing else works, folks, the thing that really does work to kind of make your footprint or your plant on the ground, it's helping anybody do anything. And that's what I invite you to do. When nothing else looks like a good idea, when you feel too depressed or too anxious or too nervous, too fearful, too scattered or too hopeless, remember one thing that's always available is for helping you, you know, helping anyone do anything. And I invite you to take that on. So welcome to humanity and welcome to your true voice. And if you're a healer, welcome to your world. Because as a healer, you may now find yourself disenfranchised naturally, no longer able to work your job for whatever reason. Maybe you're misaligned, maybe they're misaligned with you, maybe they closed or shut down, or maybe the new telemedicine system isn't aligned with you, or who knows? And there's a big handful of people who are outside of the medical world who have been in it for most of their adult life and are now wondering, what am I supposed to do? And I say what you're supposed to do is find that authentic self of yours. There's a course that we're almost got completed. It's Healing the Healers. And I'm very excited to share that course as well. Just completed shooting it this week. So I hope this hits home. Today's your day. You know, today's your day to step into your real self. Today's the day to deliver that true self of yours. Everywhere it needs to be delivered. Do it incrementally. Show some courage. And do it listening for what's being called for. You know, it's not about going to the top of the mountain and telling your mother-in-law how much you dislike her. No, that's not true voice. True voice is listening carefully for what's being called for and delivering directly into that. You can do that. You really can. Do it with a relatively safe crowd. You can do it with your spouse, your girlfriend or boyfriend. Try it out. And if it resonates, do it again. If it doesn't, you just want to go back to lying and not telling the truth, right? By all means, at least, you know, you gave it a try. So in the meantime, it's Dr. Fred, and I'm signing off with your true voice on my mind. Who is it that you are really? That was the question I used to ask on Welcome to Humanity, and now I'm asking you for real. Who is it that you are really? Who have you been that you no longer align with, but are doing anyways? Where is it that you're ready to step into your authentic message? Let's get that done in this lifetime. There's only 2 minutes left in the virtual scheme of things. And I'm not predicting death and doom, although guess what? Death is coming. Thanks for being on the show today. Thanks for listening if you're doing it afterwards. It's always an honor to share with you. And I appreciate you willing to listen to this prairie point in the podcast. For now, I'd like to bid you farewell. It's the holiday season around here, at least this time, and maybe it's already summertime over there, but in any case, peace be with you, and bring that true voice. It's all we want to hear. It's all we want. You will be moving. You will be inspiring if you can be true to yourself and then express it, even if the other people don't agree with your content. It's an amazing harmonic resonance that becomes available. So thank you very much for being here. We will catch you next week on the flip side. Bye for now from Dr. Fred. Hello, everybody, and I just wanted to thank you for getting through another episode of True Voice with Dr. Fred. Wasn't that great? It is so much fun to interact with people and then interact with my listenership about really finding true voice and then bringing it forward. I really have never done anything more important than this, and I'm finally aligned with myself by helping others find their true voice. Let's find your alignment. What do you really want in your life?